So turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 13. Stand when you find that. We'll read our text tonight. Hosea chapter 13 rather. We're finishing the book of Hosea, soon, I think. I say I think because, you know, I always think maybe something will end up being, like if I look at a chapter and then I read it and I think, oh, you know, maybe there'll be 3 sermons here. And then there ends up being like 7 sermons. So I don't know how many sermons chapter 14 is going to be. It could end up being 2. It could end up being, you know, more than that. But when we finish that, then I really believe after Hosea, the Lord is leading that we would study through the book of Joshua. And so that'll be what we do next as the Lord continues to lead that way. Okay, let's begin reading. Let's begin in verse 12. Our text is 14 through 16, but we're going to see something in verse 12 that'll really remind us of what Hosea is doing here. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. Now our text. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Now, we stop right there and we say, God is revealing mercy. That's the mercy of God, what we just read. What we're going to read after that is because Israel rejected obedience to God. They would not listen to him. He wants to be merciful to them, but they will not listen. So everything we're going to read after those first two phrases is because they would not listen. Now let's see verse 14 again and then keep that in mind. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, and the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Tonight we're going to be talking about, let me just give you the title, Precious Things Will Be Plundered. Precious things will be plundered. Let's pray. Father, one more time we ask your blessings on the message. Help our hearts to be open to receive what you have for us. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for our church and just this great privilege we have to get to serve you in this way. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to walk with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was in seventh grade, I had a really bad habit of stealing things. I was worldly. I went to church on Sunday mornings on the bus, but I was not around Christian people any other time. My parents were not godly. They were not Christian. They didn't point me to the things of God. We never read the scripture. I was at school all day, and I was around not good influences basically all the time. I didn't want to be around my family, so when school was over, maybe I would go home, put my things away, and then I would leave the house, and I wouldn't come back until it was nighttime or dinner time. And I did that every day. My parents didn't care. They just wanted me home by a certain time. If I stayed out of trouble, then they didn't really care what I did. And I got around influences that encouraged me and influenced me to start to take things. So I would go into convenience stores and I learned how to, you know, steal things. And then it became a habit where I was just taking things because they were there. And so I would be at a friend's house or I'd be at my grandparents' house. And if no one was watching, I would just take things. I remember going camping with my cousin, and it was just my cousin, myself, and his friend. And we're at this, you know, farmland, and we're out in the country, and we're camping out. And they had a, you know, like a bus that had been converted into some bunks. And we were staying in there, and we had a campfire, and we would, you know, swim in the swimming hole, and we would go to the river, and we would go fishing, and we would just do stuff that boys would do. But I remembered when the two guys were away that I rummaged through my cousin's friend's bag, and I found something in his bag that I wanted, so I took it out of his bag, and I put it in my bag. And I put it in there. There was a flap at the bottom of my bag that had my clothes and my things in it. There was like a little cardboard deal at the bottom that sort of made it strong at the bottom, and I flipped that cardboard up and I put the item that was my cousin's friend under that, and then I put it on top of the cardboard back on that so you couldn't see it, and then I put all my clothes back on top. And when my cousin's friend found that his item was missing, the obvious culprit was me. And so my cousin was going through my bag looking for the item, but he could not find it because I had hid it under that cardboard thing. I've debated on telling you this story because I'm ashamed of it, but it happened. And I said that to you to say that I think a lot of Christians are that way, in the sense that we're being instructed by God in the way He wants us to live. And then there are things that are available or we have access to in life that would be sinful. And God is not leading us in those things. As a matter of fact, if we know the Scripture and we study the Scripture in our heart, we know God has revealed already that these things are sinful and He doesn't want us to attach ourselves to them. But our lust gets involved. Our sinful heart gets involved. And we start to desire the things that we shouldn't desire. And then we take them. We start to take things in life and hide them in our life. We hide them in our soul. We hide them in our hearts. Or maybe it's an actual thing and we hide them in our life. And we could maybe, if there was a thorough investigation at your house, in your room, in your phone, in your computer, in your life, then there might be some things that are hidden there. You already know God is not for these things. He's revealed already that you should not be attached to these things. But you wanted them. You desired them. And there's a compelling in you, a sinful, a bent in you that's sinful, that wants it. And so because of that, it's not God leading you that way. God's not revealed, this is what I want you to have, and this is the way I want you to live, and I want you to be a part of this, or I want this to be in your life. No, no, no. God hasn't shown you this. You just wanted it. And so then you took it, and you hid it in your life. You hid it in your heart, and you're holding on to it. That was Israel. That's why we read verse 12. We touched on this a few sermons ago, or I think it might have been our last sermon, but in verse 12 it says this, the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid. This is what they did. This was an Achan revelation, and God was revealing to them that they had become an Achan. They had taken of the accursed thing. They hid it in their tent, and now God knows about it, and judgment is coming. Because you can't hide things from God. He knows about it. He knows your heart. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to say, oh, you know what? You have some things in your life, and there are some things that are okay, but you crossed the line. You just need to get back where you should be. Or maybe there's things in your life, you crossed the line as soon as you attached yourself to it. And it's full sin. And it needs to be deleted and removed completely from your life. And God wants to reveal that to you. And by the way, praise God that He does that. Praise God, we have God, a God who loves us enough to tell us when we're on the wrong path. Why? Because if we don't have somebody tell us what we need to hear, then we'll continue down that path and it will lead us to destruction. And it will every time. And we think that it won't, but it will. Amen. And so there is things that we associate to. There's things that we apply to. There's things that we lust for and we desire and we take them. We steal them. And we tuck them away, hiding them, thinking nobody will know about this. But God knows about it. But that's what we think, and that's what we hope. And that's what Israel did. And now God, through the prophet, is revealing to them specifically what they'd done so that they can, you know, so that they can get it out, so that they can reveal, they can remove that cardboard piece, right, and take it out and say, okay, here it is. I took this. This doesn't belong to me. This should not be in my life. This is not a part of who God wants me to be. And I'm going to admit that. I'm going to agree with God about this. And I want to repent of this. And I want to get this right. Israel wouldn't do that. But God's trying to reveal that to him. And that's the mercy that he's showing here. That's the mercy that we see in verse number 14. I mean, this is caked with mercy. I mean, it's like emotional, but it's almost, in a sense, it's like joyous. There's joy at the root of this because of the chance that somebody might repent. You know, like, I think there's a song about it, like, the, you know, just one sinner repents and then all of heaven rejoices, right? I think there's a song about that. And so God works in our heart in this. So there's passion here. There's burden because God knows that there's hidden sin and he wants to reveal that so that we can get it right. But then there's joy, there's gladness at the root of it. Why? Because we might listen. We might repent. We might let our heart be broken. Brother Joe and I have been talking about this as we minister. And as a matter of fact, I had two conversations about this. One today, and then Brother Joe and I talked about it a few days ago. That in the ministry, as we give the good news to people, the message of God's mercy and his love so that we can get our hearts right. By the way, that often when you're giving the message, it shows itself in a hard preaching or a hard revelation where we need to hear somebody tell us that we're in sin. But that's mercy. There's mercy with that. And along the way, there's a chance for people to get right. And the frustrating part about ministry is that people don't get right. And we want them to. And so we preach and we tell people the things of God and we tell people what they need to hear. And people raise their hand, they need to be saved. And now I'm preaching and I'm telling people how to be saved. They're indicating they need to be saved, but there's a breakdown. And what makes somebody get saved isn't the preacher. Somebody might acknowledge they need to be saved, but I can't make them get saved. They have to let their heart be broken. They have to decide, I'm going to turn myself to the Lord. And so here's where we are as ministers. It's our job to give the good news and preach the mercy of God and tell people what they need to hear and preach it with passion and preach it with burden and tell people about sin and tell people about the good news of being able to repent and come to God. But then we have to be patient to let God do his work. And you know what's amazing about that? Along the way, as we keep preaching and we keep telling the good news and keep giving people a chance, that God, through the Word of God and the hammer of the Word of God, is breaking hearts. And maybe you don't see it. Maybe there's a hardness revealed through the folding of arms and not singing when it's singing time or not responding when it's responding time, and God's working in your heart. And there's hardness, but God is working. And the messages continue to be delivered. And God is working to break the heart. And then there'll be that one day when somebody lets their heart be broken. They come and there's a transformation. And who did that? It was God. God did that. So God, through the messenger, the prophet, is giving the good news of God's mercy. In verse 14, it says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. This is God saying, I can redeem you. I can ransom you. I can free you from this judgment that's coming your way. If you'll just listen to the messenger, if you'll listen to the message, if you'll let it be revealed, if you'll acknowledge, it's what confess means, to agree with God. It's God who's trying to break through to you. He's trying to show you where you are and the hidden things in your life. If you'll just let God break through and reveal that in your life, then you can repent and you can get right, and then judgment will be removed. That's the mercy of God. But often it doesn't work out that way because we hear the message and there's hardness there and we remain. We keep it hidden, we keep it there, and we continue on. And that's when the judgment begins to be revealed. And this is where, in verse 14, it says, O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Paul references this in a positive sense because of Jesus Christ, but here it's referenced as judgment. Because they wouldn't listen in rebellion and stubbornness, they wouldn't repent. And so now God is commanding that the grave and commanding that death would do its scourging work. So there's a scourging that's going to take place through these judgments because of the stubbornness of Israel. And that's what's being revealed here. It goes on in verse number 15, and look at this. Because it says, though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. Now when he says an east wind, he's talking about a wind that's going to come through and it's going to dry up all of the land. It's going to dry up all the fruitness, or the fruitfulness. It's going to take away the springs. It's going to take away the fountains. There's going to be drought. There's going to be dryness. And it's a metaphor. The Assyrian Empire is going to come through and pillage and destroy the nation of Israel. The east wind is going to come. Destruction is going to come. And God is going to allow it to happen because it's the judgment of God. Did you know that there are times when stuff happens in our life and it's happening because we're being judged? And we want to blame, you know, well, the pesky, you know, taxes or pesky, you know, financial, you know, situations, or maybe something breaks in the house, or maybe, you know, there's a challenge at our job, and we see these challenges in our life, and we want to point our fingers at all of these other things, when all the time is God is trying to say, I'm allowing these problems into your life to scourge you, because you won't listen to me. And so now there's challenges, and these challenges are here because we won't listen to the Lord. Right. There's a scourging that's taking place. And that's what's happening in Israel. There's an east wind that God is predicting. He's showing them this is going to come through by way of the Assyrian army. And they're going to come through like a dryness. It's going to dry up the fountain. It's going to dry up the springs. And here's what's going to happen. Verse 16. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Now that's different than an east wind. As a matter of fact, when he said they shall fall by the sword, he's now telling them what the east wind is. That a sword is coming. And there's going to be death. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be a plundering that's going to take place. Because you rebelled against me. He goes on and he says, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, their women with child shall be ripped up. That seems pretty specific to me. Doesn't it seem specific to you that when he said here that there would be a sword, but then he talks about their children, and then he talks about their wives? He's referencing their families. He's saying that an east wind and a judgment is coming because you have this hidden sin. Yeah. And I'm trying to point it out to you, and this judgment is coming because you won't repent. And it's not just going to affect you by the sword. By the way, the sword meaning this is going to affect you. But it's going to affect your children, and it's going to affect your wives. Right. All of what represents who you are in your home. Your family. Now, I want you to see something here. Verse number 15 at the end. So he speaks of the dryness of the spring and the dryness of the fountains. But look at the last phrase there. He says, he shall spoil, speaking of the Assyrians, or the Lord's judgment, he shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. So when he said spoil, he's talking about plundering. He's talking about something being stolen. And then he said, after that, the treasure. These are precious things. The precious things in our life. The pleasant vessels. So Hosea is revealing to Israel that because of their rebellion, that God's trying to help them to see so they can repent, but they won't repent, that there are precious treasures in their life that are going to be plundered. They're going to be stolen away. When I was in high school, I was on the basketball team. We played in a tournament, and we made it to third place in the tournament, and I made it on the all-tournament team. And so this is like precious memories to me. That specific tournament. I played really well in that tournament. Our team wasn't as overall advanced as some of the other teams. But there were certain things that we did really well as a team, and to make third place in that tournament, it was a big deal. So it's a precious memory for me. Halfway through the tournament, as we're competing, there was a three-point contest and a free throw contest. And I competed in the three-point, both of them. When I competed in the three-point contest, I didn't win that. I didn't even make it to the finals on that. But then the free throw contest came, and on my first round, I made 9 out of 10 free throws. And then another guy made 9 out of 10 free throws, and we're talking about like 50 kids who shot. We were the only two who made 9 out of 10. It was the same kid who won the three-point contest. He was the same kid who was the best player in the whole tournament, made it to the championship game, which was an epic game. And I still remember his name, Adam Langston, because I'll never forget him. Like he was like an all-star to me. You know, like when you're in high school and you're playing against a guy that's like, this is like the best basketball player in the whole world. That's how he felt to me. He was just a good player. Real tall, slam it, made threes. He just did it everything, you know. And so he had already won the three-point contest. And now he's in the finals with me in the free throw contest. And he made 9 out of 10. So now it's round two. It's just him and me. And so he shot first. He made 9 out of 10. I got up to shoot. Second round, missed the first one. So now I got 9 more shots. Made 9 in a row. So then now we're going to go to round three. Round three. And then I think he shot first the third time. So I would have been the first time. So, you know, I made 9 out of 10. He made 9 out of 10. So now we're in round four. And it's getting pretty tense in the gym. People are really paying attention. And he'd already won the three-point contest, so I'm the underdog. So everybody's wanting me to win. I could feel it, you know? And I get up there on the final round, the fourth round, because this is the one that decided it all. And I made 9 out of 10 again. Adam gets up there, and he starts to shoot his free throws, and he missed one. And then he missed another one. And I won it all. I won the free throw contest. And so when it became the end of the tournament, and they gave all the awards away, I made it onto the all-tournament team, but I also got my award for the free throw. And the award for the contest wasn't just a trophy, it was a watch. A brand new Fossil watch that was shiny and bright, and that's how my heart felt. It was so awesome. I mean, it wasn't, at that point, Brother Jeremy, I think you can understand this, right? It wasn't just a watch. Like, I beat Adam Langston, like the best player in the world, but not at free throws. It was me on that day, and this watch proves it. It was just, that's how I felt about that watch. That was my junior year of high school. So then fast forward, and now I'm in Bible college, and I'm ministering to bus kids. And I love the bus. I was a bus kid, and I drove the bus, and I picked the kids up, and I brought them to church. And I had a bunch of boys that I picked up to bring to church who didn't have dads. And so my heart was broken for these kids. I had a kid, his name was Chris. And Chris, he never took a shower. And you knew it when he took his shoes off. But I had Chris over. I had 3 or 4 other guys over to spend the night. We're going to have like a guy's night. And when the shoes came off, I'm like, I'm out. I got to go to my room and close the door because I can't handle it. You could see it stunk so bad in there. You could see it, you know. But so we had that. We had that investment. A few days later, I get home from school and from work, and I go into the house, and somebody had been in my house. And I'm out in the country, so I didn't lock my door. You know, like you don't lock your car. I didn't even lock my house. I mean, that's just, it always, in all my life, it was that way. I never locked my house, you know. But somebody had been in my house. And it wasn't like things were turned over. You can just tell some things were moved and had been rummaged through. And I thought, oh, I mean, what's the deal here? And I went into my room, and I had, now I'm in Bible college, so I don't have a lot of money. But they took all my money, which was like a jar that was half full of quarters. And that was all the money I had, you know, like 10 bucks maybe. Took all my quarters, and I took my quarters. And then I looked over in this little bucket that where I had my watches, and they were all gone. I had two watches. And my watch that I had won at the tournament was gone. And I didn't care about the money. I didn't care about the other watch. But that watch, I was sick. You know? Like, I don't know if I can tell you with words, like, how I felt when I saw that my watch was gone. And I asked the Lord to help me not to be upset about the kids who had likely had been the culprits who had gotten into the house and had taken the watch. But you know what I remembered? I remembered the thing that I stuffed between my backpack with the cardboard on top of it. It was like the Lord said, oh yeah, do you remember what you did? Oh, I do remember that. And it was like a repent moment, you know, where I wasn't upset anymore about the watch or the kid who took the watch. But I was upset about my sin. And there was a repentance that took place, and a sevenfold, as best I could, a phone call that was made and reimbursement that took place of all of the things that I ever took. Which, by the way, it took some math to figure all that out. And it took some payments to get it all reconciled. But I needed to get it right. Do you know that God has given you some precious things in life? I'm going to say that again. Did you know that God has given you some precious things in life? Amen. We call those blessings, don't we? Right. Yeah. I actually asked Levi if he would be my helper. Levi, will you be my helper? All right. Okay, Levi. This is my treasure chest of precious things. Levi, he's the bad guy. All right. Well, let me let you put this on. It's getting stuck in his hair. All right. Okay. Do you know where to go? Okay. What are y'all looking at? Did you know that there are some blessings that the Lord has given us? Did you know that one of those things that God has blessed us with, a precious thing that God has blessed us with, is our family? Did you know that?
I got your family.
Right over there. Oh, no, you have to keep. Man, he took my family. Did you know there's another thing that's precious that God gave you? Do you know what it is? Let me say that again. Another thing that's precious that God gave you, it's your future. Did you know that?
I got your future.
Oh, these bad guys, you know? Do you know there's another thing that God has given you that's precious? It's your ministry. That we get to serve him.
I got your ministry.
Good job, Levi. He did great. Give him a hand. Now you can keep that.
Oh, right.
We were looking forward to that all day. I want you to think with me. Here's what God said. You have it hidden in you, this sin. He's trying to tell you. If you don't repent, you're going to be plundered. Look at this. You're going to be plundered. You're going to lose. Your future. Your ministry. He wants us to see tonight that God has given us precious things. He's given us blessings. And there are treasure. He literally used the word treasure. He's given us treasures. And now he's revealing that there's a sin there that needs to be repented of. And he's trying to show you that so that you can get it right. And if you don't, you'll be plundered. The precious things will be plundered. They will be taken. Like, oh, but it won't happen to me, but it will happen to you. You need to see that. So what should I do? What should I do? I'm glad you asked, and we're going to finish with this, okay? So go to Corinthians. You can lose your place in Hosea. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to finish right here. Remember in Hosea, where Hosea used death and the grave to reveal the judgment of God? Now Paul brings up the same reference here and says, but what was judgment? Oh, this is good. What was judgment is now victory. Do you know why? Well, let's take a look. Look at verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Here it is. This is Hosea. This is what we just studied. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. And this is the judgment Hosea was revealing to Israel. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, God has revealed that there's sin and it's hidden in our life. He's revealing it to us. If we'll repent and turn our hearts back to the Lord, and we'll allow God to get those things out of our life, and we'll turn our heart back to Him, there'll be victory. Amen. There'll be mercy. But if we don't, the message is simply this. Precious things will be plundered. They will be plundered. So the message is that tonight we would listen to God's work in our heart.